Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable. Live and local. It's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. Although it's closer to lunchtime for these boys. I'm Bart Winkler, Toby Altizer, as normal. Sam Schmitz, who was a part of this show, still is.
Yeah, in spirit.
You guys all still are. I've missed you. How'd the last 3 hours go? You guys doing the overnight shift as our Toy Drive Live Radiothon 24-hour live broadcast continues. Yeah, we're normally live at this time. It's just after 6 in the morning, but we've been live since 6 in the morning yesterday. Was on with Rami and Sparky and Gary, and then Tim and Evan took over, Horvat and Plucker. I missed some. I didn't catch any of that. I was asleep. And then you two here in the last couple of hours, which I did partake in and listen to Toby griping about me and how much I bring up he's from D.C. Sorry.
I mean, you know, it's fine. It is what it is.
Wearing Nationals gear. Like,
it's like you're mad
trying
at him.
To hide it.
It's like you're mad at him, but you're still like wearing, oh, Bart always talks about how I'm from Washington, D.C., even though I'm wearing literally a Washington Nationals hat and World Series jersey.
Yeah, and I shoehorn Washington football talk in all the time.
I mean, it's great, though.
Yeah.
How'd it go? How's the toy drive going?
It was good. We've gotten a couple of calls and all that. We talked Packers. We talked about the Renfro trade for the Brewers. We talked, obviously, about Boogie Cousins and Giannis's game-winning layup. Talked to Adam McGee from the Win in Six podcast all the way from Ireland, too. So it was a good overall show.
Oh, Ireland, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that technology lets us talk to all these. And I'm always surprised. It's like, hey, Kane Pittman, oh, who's this guy? Oh, he lives in Australia.
Right.
Oh, Adam McGee, he's pretty good. Who's this guy? Oh, he lives in Ireland. I did a podcast a couple weeks ago with guys from the UK that do a UK Bucks, the UK Bucks on Twitter. I was talking to those guys.
Did they ask you about Charles Lee?
They didn't. They did not ask me about Charles Lee. So did you sleep at all? Because you were here last night for the kickoff.
Right. After that, after our 8 p.m. kickoff show, I went like home. I slept through like the Cowboys and Saints game and the Bucks and Raptors game, but yeah, I woke up a couple hours after that and then did some show prep and then came here. So, I mean, I was telling Toby when we started the show, I'm still used to, like, this time slot when I worked in the bars and all that. So, like, this is normal to me. Like, I'm up right now.
Oh, okay. All right. You going to go back to bed?
I don't know. I'm kind of, like, awake right now.
Because you have Rami's show today.
I know, but I've had so many cups of coffee and all that that I really can't. Like, I'll try to go to sleep, but it'll just be, like, me just, like, laying down with my eyes closed.
Yeah. Did you sleep?
A little bit.
Because I saw you liking tweets at like 11:30 last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did my usual nap in the afternoon, maybe extended it a little bit, got up, watched Cowboys and Saints. Probably shouldn't have watched that game. It wasn't much to watch.
Yeah, it wasn't that great.
Oh, hey, you beat me in FanDuel things last night. Somehow.
Did I crush you?
No, you won by a few points because you picked the Cowboys defense and somehow with Taysom Hill throwing four picks.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Either
they
way,
scored a touchdown.
I slept for like an hour and a half, 2 hours after that, and then drove in here, listened to Horvat and Plucker driving in, talking some college football.
Okay.
And got in here and hung out with Sam for a couple hours.
All right. Well, thank you, Sam. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. Until the next year, I see you because just the way our time slots work, we never see each other in person. So
no, we'll have to do a lunch again.
Well, Horvat was telling us he's coming back in town, right?
Yeah.
So maybe we all get together afterwards or something. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, that sounds like something fun that we'll talk about and never do.
I don't know. We did the fourth base thing.
We did. We did go to fourth base.
It took a while, but we finally did it.
It did take a while, but we did it. But we did it. Sam Schmitz, Toby Altizer, round of applause for the boys.
Thank you.
For holding it down the last few hours. And now we take the torch here and continue on. A little late on the applause there, Bart. We continue on up until 10 o'clock, and then it's the big show Sparky, and then they wrap things up. Or no, Sparky. Yeah, Sparky. And then they wrap things up with Rami and McGivern's going to be there. So we got a lot yet to get to. We got a lot to talk about here on the show. We're going to talk to Jim Paschke. We're going to talk to Ben Wargle. We're going to talk to a bunch of different guys throughout the day here today. Men and women that are part of this toy drive, that it means something to them. We'll have a lot of good sports talk. Dan Shaughnessy wrote a book about covering the NBA. Longtime acclaimed writer. We're going to talk to him around 8:30. And then I'm not sure what we're doing in the 9 o'clock hour yet. I'm not sure if Horvat's going to be awake. You know, he was up till 4 o'clock his time. Well, we got some other things on the hook. So we're expecting a good show. We're expecting a fun show. But as always, but the main part of what we're doing here today is this toy drive. It is very, very important to a lot of us here. You've heard that. Guys like Sam and Toby that... You know, they've got some history here. They've been here a few years, and it really does not take long to understand how important this toy drive is, not just for the guys that work here. I mean, Sparky and Rami and Gary and the guys that have really seen it the whole way. Last night we talked to Matt Regacious, who was here at the beginning, used to produce in the middays. Yesterday we chatted with Mike Wickett, you know, who used to do this show and now has moved on. He's in Iowa, three kids. Wixie has, and so we talk to some of the older guys too, because it still means so much to them, even if they've moved away and are far, they still feel the effects of this community. And that, I think, is what I really like the most about the toy drive, is that it does make you feel like a community. And I told Rami yesterday when Rami was on, I said, Rami, we need to put the unity back in community. And he went on a whole diatribe about how people that are friends with their neighbors are lazy, which was like the exact opposite of what I was trying to do. caller called in and said, can you guys be more sentimental? And I said, yes, Rami, let's put the unity back in community. And then he got all weird about neighbors. There might be more to that backstory I'd have to check in with. But it was good to see him last night, too, and get this thing kick-started. As the toy drive donations do come in, I appreciate everybody that is donating, but it's so good to see the unity. And this year we're not out at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. We hope to do that again next year. Sparky's talking about that last night, that it's great to see everybody. You know, it is great to talk to you guys throughout the year that call in, and some of you guys call in a couple times a week. Some of you guys call in maybe once a month or so. Some of you guys call in maybe once a year, and we get to, you know you a little bit. Maybe we know you via online, but it's just good to see you, especially those that maybe don't call or don't tweet, but listen and want to be a part of it. And it's good to see you guys every year. So that I always like, but it's also everybody coming together for a cause. And there really is no better cause to come together for than kids. As again, this is our 15th annual toy drive. This is the 15th time that we at WSSP have done this. We are doing it for Children's of Wisconsin. We're doing it for Robin's Nest. It's courtesy of Blaine's Farm and Fleet, presented by Annex Wealth Management. We do have the donation page. It's been live. It continues to be live. And you can check that out, 1250amthefan.com. So we are taking donations online, 1250amthefan.com, if you feel the need to or just can donate a little bit. You know, whether and it does not have to be a lot. A lot of times we talk about the big donations and we're really pumped. And of course we are. But the $5 donations, those add up pretty quick if you get enough people to do them. The $5 donations, the $10 donations, the $3 donations. I mean, we're not asking you to completely rebudget your paycheck here. Whatever you can give is appreciated. And it means as much if you give three as if you give five. Now, if you're going to give three and you accidentally drop in a couple extra zeros and give 300, thank you. But seriously, whatever you can give. You know, last Sunday, I was really bad at the math, but we ended up giving $64 just because Packers-Rams, that's how many total points they scored. And I thought, oh, that's pretty nice. I saw Evan Heffelfinger last night give away $1 for every like. He put out a tweet and said, however many likes I get on this tweet by midnight, I will donate. And I don't know if he was expecting like 20 or 30. He got it to about 150. I don't know if he budgeted for that. Because Evan ain't he's not swimming in the Scrooge McDuck mansion.
You sure he's not?
I don't know. He's so confident. If you would have been like, I'll give away $10 for every like, I'd be like, what? Where are you?
How much did you do again?
Just 64.
All right. I'm going to go 20 below.
44?
Yeah.
For what? Anthony Rizzo?
No. I did. Actually, I didn't even think about it. I was Christian Yelich.
Okay.
22.
Yeah.
And then my other dude, Juan Soto. You know, you bring up Washington, D.C. I brought it up myself this time.
Toby Altizer.
Wow. Well, and you know what else? 44? Hank Aaron.
Yeah, 44. Good job. You know what else? 44? James Starks?
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
James Starks was 44, yeah. People do forget.
John Riggins,
the great John Riggins. Washington legend.
That's right.
Not a lot of 44s are coming to my head right away.
It's not a very common number.
No. But we certainly are missing a big one, yes?
I'm sure we are.
Yeah. All right, well, 44. Toby. 44 from Toby. Look at that. If you guys want to donate, again, 1250amthefan.com. And we do have the ability to take toys. That is set up at 15 different fire locations, fire stations throughout the area. The whole list of that is on 1250amthefan.com. So the whole list of that is on 1250amthefan.com. The same page where you can donate, you can also figure out where to drop off toys. And from what I understand, we're picking all that up on Monday. So if you can donate through the weekend, the toys, and then we want you to donate. If you have cash that you're able to donate, then please try to do that before 6 o'clock today. We would prefer. 1250amthefan.com. Again, 1250amthefan.com. I'll tell you, doing the toy drive, so the first toy drive I was a part of would have been 2014. I came on board here. And so this would be, what, my 8th, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 8th toy drive. And I've got to meet a lot of you throughout the years. We'll talk to some of you today. We made a lot of great memories over the years. You know, and this year we're trying to create new memories too, just in a different fashion. I think the fire stations that have allowed us to come in and they've opened their doors, I think that's great as we try to get back to, you know, to normal a little bit. But it's taken on a different approach from me since I've become a dad. You can't not. And maybe you're a father, maybe you're not, maybe you're a parent, maybe you're not. It's not that I see it differently. I mean, I think when you become a dad, your eyes get open a little bit and you do start to see things differently. And because every kid that you see, you put your kid in that kid's shoes. You think, well, I feel like my kid is, you know, in a good spot. He goes to daycare a couple days a week. He's got friends there. He's relatively healthy. You know, he gets to see some family. I think we're doing well by him right now at 2.5. And again, he's been pretty healthy. You know, knock on wood. So, but when you see other kids going through things, especially when they're that age, because he's so young. He's 2.5 is so young. And there are kids that, there are kids that don't make it there. There's kids that are struggling to get there. And to have a resource like Children's here is not something I don't think anybody takes for granted. I really don't think we do. I mean, this is one of the premier hospitals, especially for kids, in the entire world. And you might drive by it a couple of times a week. It is right here, you know, in Milwaukee. So it's great to have that resource, and it's also great to help out because you do think then, well, what if I was, you know, going through what some of these parents are going through, where they have to take their kid into the Children's? What if I had to watch my kid go through what these kids are going through? Is there anything that I would like to do to help? And we are doing a toy drive, and I'm telling you, you give a toy to a kid, and it like changes their whole world. Especially at a certain age, it's like, wow, they can't believe it. We're doing an advent calendar. So the first night he got a little toy boat. Just a little toy Matchbox boat, cost a dollar. This kid will not put this thing down. He loves it. Now, when we go to the children's hospital, we like to give him good toys, but maybe we don't have to. You know, it's just the fact that they get a toy is it's a great way to break up their day, because these days do get monotonous out there. They can get monotonous for them, and then they see all their friends celebrating, especially around the holidays, and they get worried and they get bummed. And to bring joy into their world, it's you wouldn't believe it, man. Before I did have my son, I got to go to the children's and I got to see kids get those toys, and those are images that are like burned in my brain. You know, as you get older, you start losing stuff. Any given Sunday, I'm obsessed lately, but you start losing memories a little bit. The images of these kids where you give them a toy, and we had a station, it was part of an event, and kids came around and picked out a toy, and they couldn't believe it. Like, I had to explain them, some kids, you can do more than touch. You can take it with you. You can open it. You can keep it. They were just so excited to have it. And that's a moment that you guys make possible with the donations. You guys make that possible with the donations and the toys. And I'm thinking of this Jackson Sparks today, and I think we all are, as the Jerseys for Jackson cause is really taken on a very large life. You've got a lot of people in a lot of high spots. I mean, Yelich is tweeting about it. Brian Anderson, I watched some of the news this morning. They've all got their jerseys on. Toby, is that Juan Soto you're repping?
Trey Turner.
The former.
My favorite player.
I got future Hall of Famer, but probably not. Prince Fielder going today.
I like it. Pinstripes,
yeah.
Looks good.
Yeah, pinstripes looks good. I bought it when I was a few LBs less.
That's slimming.
Well, thank you, because it's stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. So the jerseys for Jackson cause, because obviously we all know what happened in Waukesha, and it's just so heartbreaking to see a couple days later that one of the kids did not make it, and that, of course, being Jackson Sparks. And there was a service for him last night, and now everyone's wearing jerseys. And I heard about this cause, and I thought, this is a really cool thing, but I was always going to wear a jersey. I didn't know how much I wanted to talk about it and if we wanted to bring it up, because I think of, like, again, you put yourself as a parent in these parents' shoes. And I don't know, because no matter how many jerseys we wear, it doesn't bring them back. And so I almost felt a little defeated about it. But the goal is, just like with this toy drive, is to try to bring moments of joy where they shouldn't be or otherwise wouldn't be. And Jackson Sparks, his legacy is going to live for a long time. It's going to live for a long time, but unfortunately his life was cut short. But for his parents today, or his family members, or his friends, to see everybody think of their kid, I do think that, you know, is at least going to bring a little bit of joy where otherwise wouldn't be. And that's why everybody's getting on board. And that's another thing. You know, Rami can dismiss my unity talk all he wants. I'm kidding, but it's bringing the unity and community. We all live together. We're all here together. We gotta be a community. And this is something that, you know, tragic. And it is bringing some community sense to things again, which, if we all get along a little better, maybe, you know, maybe things don't seem as bleak as they sometimes do. So wear a baseball jersey if you can, if you can still think about it before you leave the house today, for Jackson Sparks, age 8. It's also very bad look for MLB. You got this kid who loved baseball so much that everyone's wearing a jersey for him to remind you that this is a kid's game. Meanwhile, the league's on lockout. You know, it's just like, I hope that message gets to them where they can, you know, I know they want the best deal for them and it's business, but it's not a very good look for baseball. I hope that they just let that message resonate for a second. So I'm thinking of him today. You know, I'm thinking of all the kids that were just at Children's or still are out of the tragedy, what happened in Waukesha. I'm thinking of kids that we never hear about that go there.
I'm thinking of parents. I'm thinking of parents in the holiday season. It's another thing. I mean, this toy drive, these parents, it's all, especially when they're there in this time of the year during the holidays. It's like the holidays, you don't get the holidays. It's like the holidays are canceled because the kid doesn't get to enjoy all of his stuff until he gets back out, he or she. And the parents, I mean, they probably want that. Like, you want to give your kid the gift of Christmas. I mean, what is it, December 3rd? But we've been doing this advent calendar for 2 days and the tree's up. And my son experiencing Christmas really for the first like time cognitively, he's like, it just brings him so much joy. And as a parent, to not be able to do that, that would crush me. And so when they get that toy, when you can take something off the parents' hands too, it's a big deal. It's a great cause. Whatever impact you think it makes so much more than that. It really does. It really, really does. And so I hope you guys, whatever you can donate, we're not asking for, you know, $500 from every household. Whatever you can chip in, $1, $5, whatever you can do, it makes a difference. It really does. And I think that's one of the reasons why we love it so much. And obviously, anytime that you can help out kids and then their families around them, it's really a good thing to do. And we heard from a lot of parents too. It's a great lesson to show your healthy kids. You can bring them to the store and pick out a toy and take it to the fire station this weekend, and you can teach them that lesson too, and they can appreciate Christmas a lot more. So there's so much good that we can try to do when things otherwise would look bleak. So wear a jersey if you can. Donate if you can. 1250 AM, The Fan. We're going to be talking about the toy drive all day. Got a lot of sports to get to. The Cowboys do beat the Saints last night. Want to talk about that because the Cowboys, they don't look like world beaters. At one point, they were deemed the best team in the NFL. And playing kind of shaky against a Saints team that is not good. They are bad. And then the Bucs without Giannis last night, another competitive, fun game. And Pat Connaughton just missing a chance to take the lead at the end. Bucs fall. We got a big game this weekend between Marquette and Wisconsin Saturday morning. We'll talk about that here before the end of the hour. Got a lot to get to. It is Toy Drive Live. We continue on in 3 minutes on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, one thing fun about this show is I don't know the exact name of it. I think it's the Bart Winkler Show, but it's also the Bart Winkler Morning Show. Sometimes it's the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler. I have no idea. I don't know. My name's in it. What do I care? I'm Bart Winkler. That's Toby Altizer here in the Lakeland University studios. Online or in person, learn your way at lakeland.edu. Our Toy Drive Radiothon continues. Andy Schneider joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Andy's a frequent listener of the station, and he's got a little different journey to be here than some of you. He was a patient at Children's back in the day. Because Andy, every time this year, you always tweet out a picture. This is always so fascinating to talk about. You were on the cover of a magazine that Children's put out. You're in your bed, it looked like. And if I remember the story correctly, there was a surgery you needed done. Something needed to be done with you that was never done before. And you were like patient X on that. Good morning. Good to talk to you again. If you can remind listeners about your journey to be here today.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks again for doing this again this year, guys. 15 years is remarkable. And like you guys said before, any past, present, future members of WSSP really appreciate all that you guys do. For my story, back when I was 3 years old, I wasn't acting quite right. I was acting kind of funny. My parents were convinced to take me to the hospital. They they took me to the hospital, Children's Hospital, and I had a bunch of tests done. And it was revealed that I had about a golf ball-sized tumor near my brainstem. And unfortunately, they weren't able to get it all out. They didn't have the technology to get close enough to my brainstem to safely extract the entire tumor. They said they were in the preliminary discussions about developing a new tool that would be able to help patients like myself. Fast forward 3 years, I'm 6 years old, getting ready for a baseball game, and just curl up in a ball in the middle of my living room and go to sleep. My parents rushed me back to the hospital, consulted with the doctors, and they said, good news, not necessarily bad news, but news, I guess. They had developed the tool. However, they hadn't used it on anybody in a live operating room, and they wanted me to be the first. So, lo and behold, I became their guinea pig, and 4 hours worth of an operation done in an hour and a half, I came out of the operating room. My parents wondering why I got out so early, thinking, you know, obviously the worst.
Oh, my God.
It was quite the opposite. It was only the best. It was even better than they expected. And today I'm 30 years old now. I have a wife, a 2.5-year-old, and one on the way, actually. And it wouldn't be possible without all the research and time and effort and passion and most of all love that they have there.
How vivid are those memories to you?
They're pretty strong. I spent a lot of weeks, a lot of days, a lot of time with doctors in that facility, and I remember a lot of them.
As a kid, are you aware that? Are you aware how high the stakes are that surgery may, like, I can't imagine these thoughts being in a kid's head.
Oddly enough, I actually woke up during one of the operations. That was pretty wild, honestly. I still remember that. But I knew it was, you know, probably life or death, but I didn't understand back then the ramifications that this operation had on, like, the entire world, that this new tool was going to save thousands, hundreds of thousands of kids' lives and allow them to have a life. That I didn't know at the time. And, you know, now I fully grasp it and I cherish it every day.
And it must, you know, as you get older, and I mean, the story's always been with you, this experience has always been with you, but, you know, you say, you know, with your kid and another one coming, congratulations. Yeah, I mean, I would think that it magnifies, like, oh my God, my parents, what did they go through? My goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't imagine. My dad always told me, he passed when I was 14. But he always told me when I was younger that he'll always remember he was at a bar league softball game when he finally found out, and he just started crying, and he just lost control. He couldn't contain himself. He was so upset, so angry. Like, why my kid? Why my son? You know, all those types of thoughts running through, you know, any parent's head that has to go through that. But because of the care I had at Children's Hospital, I'm still here today.
Yeah, and so great to have it so close. So great that this was available for you. So great that you are able to be here and talk about it. And Andy, I know we check in, you know, every time this year, and I'm always so, you know, amazed at the story and what you had to go through. And I appreciate you always reaching out. And because it is good to hear stories like this, it's, you know, it's good to hear the success stories. It's good to hear that, you know, it's good to hear that you are here, Andy.
Yeah. I feel you.
Yes, I agree, Bart. I'm glad I'm alive. Yes. I,
Yes, thank you very much. So, but that's why we want to, you know, talk to you, just to highlight how important it is to bring any joy that we can to kids in your situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had mentioned to you guys, I think last year after the toy drive, I was actually working with my brother-in-law, doing fire system inspections at the hospital. And I happened to be in the MacFund Center, and they were taking a group of kids into the room with all the toys that had just been dropped off, and I got to see them pick out a whole bunch of toys. And it was very special to see, you know, all the fruits of your guys' labor, you know, kind of right before my eyes there. And it was quite emotional, honestly.
Yeah, it's a great moment that I do wish more people would be able to see, the moment that the kids do get the toys. Andy, great story as always. Great to talk to you. Yeah. How you feel about your Titans? You're a big Titans fan.
Yeah, they're done.
They're done? Jeez.
Yeah, they're not.
I feel like I figured out the Titans more than anybody else in this world. Whenever you think they're good, they're bad. Whenever you think they're bad, they're good.
Oh, sounds like Badgers football.
Which we're going to talk about here in a couple seconds with Ben Wargle. Andy, thank you. Perfect. We really do appreciate it. And we appreciate what you do on our behalf to try to get the word out, you know, with your social channels and everything, and in your group of people. And thanks as always. And I really do enjoy talking to you.
Of course. Yeah. Anything, like you guys said, $5, $500, $3. You know, a truckload of toys, whatever it is, you just know you're putting a smile on kids' faces.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Of course. See you in person next year, I hope.
See you in person next year. We'll do it. Thanks, Andy.
Of course.
That's Andy Schneider, former patient at the Children's Hospital. And again, the impact that it had on his life. I mean, it saved his life. And it's great that he wants to be a part, and we bring him on to share what, you know, this toy drive means to everybody. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, an official bank sponsor of this toy drive. If a home renovation loan has you feeling anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at Great Midwest Bank today. This portion of the show brought to you by Scrub-A-Dub Scrub Club. Might be hard to say, but it's easy to use. Wash your car every day if you'd like. One low price starting at $13 a month for as many car washes as you want. The Scrub-A-Dub Scrub Club at any local Scrub-A-Dub location. Sign up at scrubadub.biz. I'm Bart Winkler, Toby Altizer, Ben Wargle on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline now. The Badger Nation on Twitter. You can find his work at Badger Blitz, covering this Badgers basketball team, which we'll get into momentarily. The football team you had a chance to cover the last couple of weeks. Ben, that was disappointing. They really screwed up.
Oh, absolutely. you know, you kind of look at what Wisconsin had kind of been on in the 2 months since they lost to Michigan, and they seem to really start to figure things out. And now, I will say the schedule got incredibly soft for them in that seven games, with the exception of Iowa. I think Iowa was that one quality win that they had, but for the most part, they pumped up their record on bad teams, or teams that are not going to be playing in the postseason. And so you kind of were seeing them trend in a positive direction. You know, the offense started to click a little bit. I think they played very well against Rutgers, Northwestern, Nebraska. Obviously, three teams that aren't going to go bowling. But you could see the confidence with the group. Now, there were some issues with the passing game, pass defense, that were some red flags. I even wrote about after the Nebraska game that this team, if they want to win a Big Ten championship, they need to be better against the pass. And for whatever reason, as soon as a good team got back in front of them, they turned back into the September Badgers. The offense couldn't move the ball. Defense was getting gashed in some certain areas, especially against the pass. They went against a quality quarterback in Tanner Morgan, who's played a lot of football. And so he knows what he's seen, and he knows his offense. And Minnesota just picked them apart. It kind of reminds me of the last time they lost the Axe in Camp Randall. How Minnesota was just a better all-around football team, and Wisconsin was kind of in limbo a little bit. That was the last Alex Hornibrook game, where he was coming back off a concussion, and he didn't look at all capable of running the offense, and Mertz had that kind of that same kind of look last Saturday. And you know, you have everything in front of you. You know, you win and you go to Indianapolis as the Big Ten champions of the West Division. And call me crazy, I think Wisconsin had a better matchup against Michigan than they did against Ohio State, and they just absolutely, you know, only could put 6 points up on the board offensively. And you know, it just is, it was a perfect kind of fitting for the end of the year. A year that started off so poorly with such terrible play, ends the year, regular season, with such terrible play, and kind of caps what I think many people will label as a very disappointing season for this team.
You've covered Paul Chryst a handful of years. I mean, he looked pretty dejected after that loss, and there were some decisions he made that have been questioned and should be questioned. What do they do next? I know he's got his hands are all over that offense. I don't know if he's willing to give up some of that. You know, sometimes I think back when McCarthy gave up the play calling, that ended up making things worse for the Packers, and he eventually took it back. So I don't know what they do, but you would think that something's going to be different.
Well, I mean, he didn't call plays last year. That was Joe Rudolph, and people were complaining all last year about how the play calling and what was not very creative. It was hampering some guys. And so when John Budmeyer, the quarterback's coach, left to be the OC at Colorado State, Paul kind of rearranged his staff. Instead of hiring a new offensive coordinator, he hired a quarterback's coach. And so Paul then took back the coaching of the quarterbacks and the play calling. Well, I would say one of the big disappointments this year has been the play of the quarterback in Graham Mertz. I don't think you've seen development from him from year one to year two like you would hope out of that position. And I think the play calling this year was a little bit better, but it still was not the play calling that we've been accustomed to when Paul Chryst was the OC here. I don't think that creativity and the diversification of the offense really was prevalent in a lot of games, especially against quality opponents. Now, is that personnel? Is limited by the personnel? Or is Paul Chryst's style of offense being a little antiquated for the college game? That's going to be something that's going to be a big focus, I think, of this offseason. How do you make this offense better? Because you have a young running back star in Braylon Allen, and you need to complement him with the passing game. And Graham Mertz will return next year, but you're going to have a lot of these reliable pass-catching weapons who are not going to be there. Jake Ferguson's probably not going to be back. Kendrick Pryor's graduating. I'm assuming Dane Davis is going to test the NFL waters too. I think he's out. Yeah, he's out of eligibility too. So there's a lot of pieces here that aren't going to be there that Mertz has relied on. And so that's going to be a huge focus for this team. Now, I personally think Chryst should shake up some parts of his staff. I don't think he will. That's just not how Paul Chryst has operated over the last 10 years or so as a head coach. So pretty much the staff you see here is the staff that's coming back unless they leave for other opportunities. And Wisconsin's got to be better offensively. They have a really good defense, a defense that will go over a makeover as well. Under Jim Leonard, a lot of these guys are going pro. So it's going to be an interesting offseason at Wisconsin, especially with where the expectations were and where they're going to end up in a second-tier bowl game here probably later this month.
Talking to Ben Wergel, BadgerBlitz.com. You talk about expectations. I think the basketball team has exceeded those to start. They start 2-0 against teams they should win, drop one to Providence at home. Okay, well, what is this team? And they go out to Las Vegas, win that Maui Invitational, have a nice lead against Houston. Need to hang on, do hang on. Beat Georgia Tech the other night in a game where it's like, you know, there's some of these games where, if you lose that game, it's excused. But they're winning. They're finding ways to win. This is exciting, and we're going to, you know, I'm very interested in this game coming up on Saturday just to see, you know, what we've seen of Marquette, how they match up against Wisconsin, but more, you know, specifically what we've seen of Wisconsin, how they're going to match up against Marquette. And then conference play, they've changed that up a little bit. So you got two conference games next week. They're going to dip right into that. So it's like the Badgers, they've passed all these tests, and now their reward is more tests to pass. But so far, A+.
Yeah, this is a tough stretch here of eight games where you had Providence, you had three in the Maui Invitational and played in Vegas. You have Georgia Tech on the road, then Marquette, Indiana, and then at Ohio State, which just knocked off Duke. in Columbus earlier this week. So this, we knew this was going to be a tough stretch for this team, and maybe, I don't want to say a defining stretch for this team, but certainly was going to kind of be a good litmus test for them. And they've been great. And Johnny Davis has been great. The performance that he did in Maui, I think a lot of the people in the program saw coming, especially with what his offseason was like. I just wrote about this on BadgerBlitz.com before the game on Tuesday, where he won a gold medal this offseason, and how when he returned from winning that gold medal with Team USA, he had this confidence about him, this swagger about him, and his play has reflected that. He didn't play against Providence because of a heel injury, but you know, he's in the six games he's played with Wisconsin 6-0. He scored at least 15 points in all those games. He sets his career high twice in Las Vegas, including 30 against number 12 Houston. Wisconsin's won 4 in a row away from the Kohl Center. You know, they're the only major conference team with at least 4 wins away from home this season, other than USC. So the work that they've done here is impressive. And you know, there's still a lot of flaws with this team. They're being carried quite literally by Davis and Brad Davison. Davison dropped 27 yesterday in a 4-point win at Georgia Tech. But the young players on this team are starting to come along, and we knew that with this team. They have 12 underclassmen this year, and there, a lot of guys are in roles that they've never been in before. Stephen Crowell as a starter. Chucky Hepburn is just 7 games into his college career as a true freshman. Davis has never started before this season in college. So there's a lot of people in new places, and the one thing about this team, even though they make mistakes at both ends of the floor, they play really good defense. Like, they're really committed to the defensive end, and they're tough. They're gritty. It's kind of surprising to see a team this young be that tough mentally to be able to withstand situations. You mentioned the Houston lead. They're up 20. See that lead kind of flitter away, but they made plays late to win that game. They were down 16 against Texas A&M in the first half, came back and won. They were down 10 against St. Mary's with about 16 minutes to go in the game, came back and won. And then to have their first true road game and survive that against a pretty good Georgia Tech team in a back-and-forth game, it's impressive what they're doing. But there's still some really hard games to go, including this in-state rivalry game on Saturday. I've been impressed with Marquette. That big win against Illinois, even without Kofi Coburn, still, that's a big win. I think it's opened a lot of people's eyes. You know, what they did down in South Carolina in that tournament, I think, was impressive. And you know, Shaka's got a team too that he's trying to figure out. So this is going to be a good matchup on Saturday. I always look forward to this game because just the tension that kind of comes with it in non-conference reminds me of a Big Ten type game.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. It's got the national TV window Saturday morning into the afternoon. Marquette in Wisconsin. Wisconsin gets this one at the Kohl Center this year as they alternate that, so should be fun. Ben Wergel, the Badger Nation, BadgerBlitz.com. I want to thank you for your continued support. You've always been a friend to come out at our toy drives when we could be on location. We hope to do that again next year with you. And I know you're a loving father, and you know how important it is to make sure if there's any joy that we can bring these kids, we got to do it.
Oh, absolutely. And I always love it that you do this. And I think it's great that you do this. You highlight this, how important it is this time of year, not just to give to your children, but to think of those who are as fortunate as maybe you or I are to give your kids a nice Christmas, and that some kids don't have toys and food and the ability to, you know, support themselves. And, you know, so the last couple of years, as I've grown, as my kids have grown up and I've been blessed, I've had our kids, you know, go to the store and buy toys to give to other kids and to sponsor a family and just to do something special this time of year for others. Cause that's what the season's about, the season of giving. And I love that you guys raise the money, raise the toys, and put smiles on other people's faces and make a real impact. So I applaud you, Bart.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate your time. We'll talk again in the relatively near future as this Badger basketball team continues to impress and your work continues to impress.
All right. Be well, buddy.
You too. Ben Wergel joining us. Great Midwest Bank hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're a bit anxious, breathe
and let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com today. greatmidwestbank.com today. That is Ben Wergel as our toy drive continues here. I want to thank Great Midwest Bank, the official bank sponsor of the toy drive. I want to thank the Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center, Lincoln Contractor Supply, and Red Leaf Homes. This portion of the show brought to you by Pfizer and BioNTech. Remember, it is the fall. It is a great time for fall and football and festivals, and it's a great time to start. It is still officially fall, despite, you know, whatever you're driving in this morning. It's a great time to consider getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Message brought to you by BioNTech and Pfizer. BioNTech and Pfizer. 414-799-1250. You guys could call in as we discuss throughout the show. If there's somebody that you know that's donated or you want to brag a little bit, feel free to do so. If you want to talk Bucks, looks like no Brooke Lopez for a while. We'll get into that a little bit next hour. We got a lot to cover here. Jim Paschke coming up. I'm excited to listen to Mike Holmgren today. Mike Holmgrum, as some of you may refer to him as. He'll be joining the big show around 1 o'clock, so certainly a lot to look forward to today. Not only are we making that final push for toys and donations at 1250am thefan.com, but got a lot of good conversations to be had throughout the day as well. The game last night. So did you, Toby, you watch much of this thing because you had to get up at whatever ungodly hour you were up today?
Yeah, I watched it. It wasn't very entertaining.
No, are the Cowboys good?
I think they are, but they kind of play to the level of their competition, it seems like. They don't really blow teams out that they should. Like, they should have killed the Saints last night. Taysom Hill, 4 interceptions. I wasn't very impressed with him at all. And I don't know. I think they are good, but it seems like whenever they play a bad team or someone that they should, you know, just absolutely annihilate, they just kind of like, all right, we'll win by 10 points. We'll win by 7. We'll kind of hang around. And, you know, the Saints were in that game for a lot of it, even though they really weren't playing well at all.
So we do our fantasy draft. I had Taysom Hill. Did I have Dak as well?
No, I had Dak.
You had Dak.
I had Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and Tony Pollard. You had Taysom Hill, the Dallas defense, and Mark Ingram.
And I won?
You had 44.76. I finished with 42.32.
See, my strategy was you figured that Taysom Hill was good for a couple turnovers, and I wanted them to be neutralized. But then they scored a touchdown and had a couple of sacks. So that helped me out in a big way in our contest.
Yeah, and I picked the right running back. Tony Pollard was the one that broke off the big run for him last night. But also, what in the world was Marcus Williams doing?
Oh, I don't know.
On that run? He's like, I don't want him to cut back on me, so I just won't even try and tackle him.
So I'll let him outrun me.
That was like the worst defensive thing I've ever seen.
It's pretty bad on the Pollard
touchdown.
And he's known
for some bad defensive thing. Just ask Minnesota.
Taysom Hill, that was a very interesting national spotlight game for him. Saints love this guy. Sean Payton loves this guy.
Yeah, Sean Payton loves this guy. The Saints don't love him.
So he's the quarterback now because Jameis got hurt. God, it's really sad to know that they beat the Packers. But that was with Jameis. You know, whatever. Week 1, Packers sucked then. They're better now. And then Trevor Siemian, who has to think, like, this is what you... Taysom Hill, there was one drive where Sean Payton's like, screw it. I know why I like Taysom Hill. Just take the ball and run like we're in high school. And he ran for like 40 yards on a drive. He had 101 yards rushing. He had 2 passing touchdowns. So he's a great fantasy quarterback. He's a great fantasy quarterback. If you had him in fantasy, you're feeling pretty good. The 4 picks don't matter because like it's neutralized by his runs.
Yeah, he's one of those guys he's like Jalen Hurts, where he's not actually good in real life, but awesome for your fantasy football team. What did I see? He was the first quarterback ever to rush for 100 yards and throw 4 picks. What in the world?
Yeah. How did that ever even happen one time? Like last night.
Well,
like that's not a line that should ever even occur.
I'm a big Lamar Jackson guy. I could have swore that he already did that because he threw 4 picks and he always rushes for 100 yards.
I saw a great tweet about Taysom and Lamar. Somebody said, Taysom Hill is what Lamar Jackson haters think Lamar Jackson is.
Bill Polian?
Yeah. Yeah, Lamar Jackson is not Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill is one of the most interesting players to ever play. Just and because, hey, sometimes all it takes is that one guy in your corner. And you can go far and make $10 million a year for being an H-back that throws four picks a game. I'm Bart, that's Toby. Our toy drive continues. Jim Paschke in about an hour. Talk some Bucks coming up.